help me welcome to the stage the next president of the United States of America, Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Hello and welcome to the Liberal Locution. This is episode 2, Dream Big, Fight Hard, and Win on the Campaign Trail 19. So, as you could probably guess, this episode is going to be pretty primarily focused on Elizabeth Warren and her campaign, especially as it relates to the event Saturday in Goose Creek at the town hall, which I attended. Now, I am a volunteer for over 20 years now for liberal and then Democratic campaigns. And so my experience basically has been as a volunteer for most of my time. It's given me a unique perspective, I think. And really, the thing that you need to understand about politics is that the volunteers in politics really are the driving engine of campaigns. I mean, the candidate, of course, central, core, your paid staff, very important, organizing, getting things together. But the real driving engine of campaigns are those campaign volunteers, the grassroots. I have been a proud part of that for as long as I've been in politics. So that's going to be the focus of looking at it this first. I went to volunteer at the event, showed up early, and met a lot of other excited volunteers. And honestly, the experience that I had in this campaign makes me feel really good about where the campaign is going. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've been involved in different campaigns, and you know, sometimes it's just not there. You know, you go in, you're like, I know I want to help this candidate out, but you just don't see it when you're in there in the trenches working as a volunteer. But that is certainly not true for the Elizabeth Warren campaign. I can tell you, it is a wonderful experience being a volunteer for the Elizabeth Warren campaign. It is great. Really love it. And I highly recommend it for anybody wanting to experience something very inspiring is to volunteer at an Elizabeth Warren event. I'm telling you right now. I know I'll be doing a lot more of it as we get closer to the primary in South Carolina. And of course, across the country, we're moving to the primary. South Carolina comes as the fourth primary in the Democratic primary process. So the South Carolina Democratic primary will be Saturday. It's a Saturday, not a Tuesday. Saturday, February 29th. It's right at the end of February on our leap day. We will be leaping forward into the future with Elizabeth Warren here in South Carolina. Now, we've got a long way to go to get there. A lot of other candidates are working hard here in the state. And, you know, some of my friends working, volunteering for some of those candidates. And that's, you know, I certainly understand their passion. You know, I share it as well for mine. But, you know, I've got to say, I really feel like we are making some strong strides with the Elizabeth Warren campaign across the country and here in South Carolina. So I'm going to move in more onto the event, which, you know, you heard a little sample from there in the beginning. Just I will talk a little bit more about actually that sample that you heard, which is really just sort of her theme music so far right now for the campaign, which I really love. And I think it's very appropriate. Go into that a little more. What I want to do first is kind of go into the day of a Democratic volunteer for the Elizabeth Warren campaign. So first, I'm going to show you what we did in the beginning of the event and kind of what it was like for some of those volunteers. They're gonna tell you a little bit about, you know, why, you know, they're there, or how excited they are to be there. So we'll move into that right after a word from our sponsor. All right, now we're going to get a little bit of insight into how the beginning of the day went. First thing that we did is, as we came in, they had us kind of just talk a little bit about why we were there, kind of get to know you, a little bit of something like that, just to get an idea of it. And I'll just give you a little bit of insight into that.
I'm Travis. I live downtown, and I think it's absurd that I pay more taxes than Bank of America and Jeff Bezos.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sarah. I'm also a public educator. I work at North Charleston High School. I live in West Ashley, and I believe that we can't win unless we fight, and I'm ready to be Trump. This is what you're doing. And I'm excited because my daughter is the one who really drugged me here. She's running in her first presidential election.
I'm Grace. I brought my mom with me, and I'm just excited to hear what she has to say. It's hard as a young adult going into your first election to figure out what everyone stands for. So that's why I'm here.
Hi, I'm Terry Marmert. I have the privilege of having a U.S. Navy medical behind me. I'd have been dead 15 years ago if I hadn't had the ability to just walk into a doctor. This is what I want from all of my brothers and sisters and everybody else in our country.
I'm Bob Aubin. I've been an activist and volunteer for Democratic causes for like 20 years now. I've been working on all kinds of campaigns. But Elizabeth Warren's campaign has meant the most to me because she has all these great plans when it comes to her plan for Medicare for all, for the, you know, making sure billionaires pay their fair share, all of that. It shows me that she is the best candidate, and I can't wait for her to be our first woman president. There were a lot of people very excited to be there, as you heard me as well. So after a while, we went around the circle talking about why we were in the fight for Elizabeth Warren, and the paid staff started. They took over, talked a little bit themselves, and went into kind of what we were going to do for the day.
And then start our volunteer training today. But my name's Devin Kennemer. I am from Alabama. I live in Columbia now. I work on the organizing team here. I'm in this fight because it's not just enough to beat Donald Trump next November, which we're gonna do, but we need a big structural change to make sure that none of us have to wake up like we did 3 years ago today. With someone like Donald Trump ever happening again. So I'll say it's really, really awesome to think about where we were 3 years ago on this exact morning, where we didn't feel so great. Feeling pretty optimistic now with a fighter like Elizabeth Warren going to be our next president and take Trump out once and for all. And I'll tell you how we're gonna get there. It's gonna be with the efforts of grassroots volunteers like everyone in this room. Elizabeth is not spending her time behind closed doors, meeting with rich folks, spending her time on the phone, calling up millionaires and billionaires and corporate CEOs and begging them for money. She's spending time with folks like us. She's spending time out here answering folks' questions, meeting voters directly, taking a photo with every single voter who wants one, which you'll all get selfies today, which is really fun and exciting. So that's how she's spending her time. She's putting an emphasis and an effort on grassroots volunteers, grassroots donations. That's how we're going to win. That's how we're going to win this election. And it's going to take all of us to get us there. So I'll talk a little bit about what we're doing today as volunteers. Our job as volunteers at today's event is just to make sure everyone who attends is greeted positively, which is really the Warren way, that we make them feel very welcome and really excited to be here. So The main responsibility that most volunteers today will have is helping sign folks into the event. We want to make sure we know who attended the event so we can follow up with them in the future. Everyone who comes inside the event must sign in.
It was a great way to start out the process there. Definitely have to say they were doing some excellent work, really kind of making us feel like part of the campaign. It's very important. And, you know, everybody there going around the circle was amping each other up, cementing our excitement in what was about to come. And we'll get into that again, I guess, in a little bit here. But it was amazing, and we had reason to be excited. Once we had gotten our assignments, I was actually going out to the door, and this is what I really want to talk about. I want to talk about exactly what we did in that process. It was very innovative. It's the first time I've been involved in a campaign that did this. And what we did when people were coming in is we actually had them get out their phones, and this is how they got in. They had to do it to get in. You give them a sticker after they did this process, and then they could get through the entryway. And what happened was you would have them take out their phone, and they would text the word Goose Creek to a number. And when they texted that number, they got a text back, and it asked them for their zip code and their name. And obviously, all this is gathered data for the campaign. Brilliant process, because what that then did is, of course, one, sign them up for text updates, but two, you're getting buy-in to the campaign. You're getting being able to give yourself follow-up there, but it was an easy way to segue into that. And, you know, honestly, there was not a whole lot of objection to it. I honestly didn't experience any objection to it. Some people may not have had their phones. There were a couple people that didn't have their phones. We had them fill out a card then with that information, but really we were stressed to make sure that everybody that we could that had a phone to text their information in and get that. Then what was neat afterward, when they sent the zip code and their name, what it did is it texted them back a picture of Bailey, which is the Warren's golden retriever. So it's like, oh, let me see Bailey. All right, let's give you a sticker. It was excellent. It was a fun little interlude for folks, you know, oh, it's Bailey, she has a golden retriever, you know, it's great, and gets the data in. All right, I hope you got a little bit of insight. If you didn't have it already, if you've not been a volunteer in politics before, I hope that gave you a little bit of insight as to what it's like to be a volunteer. You really do feel like you are part of what is happening, and you are part of the campaign, because you are. You are critical in these campaigns as a volunteer. So if you believe in a candidate, if you believe in an ideal, you got to volunteer. I can tell you that I've been paid staff for campaigns, and that's, of course, important too. And but nothing compares to being a volunteer. I don't care how long you've been involved in politics. If you haven't volunteered in a while, I recommend it for you too. Get out there on the ground, knock on doors, help set up for an event, help check people in. It's really the lifeblood of politics, and you got to do it. That's all I'm saying. You got to do it. If you at all have any interest in politics, get out there and volunteer. I don't care. You know, I don't care if you can't stand all day, if you can't do a lot of those other things, because there's opportunities there as well. No matter what your level of ability, there are things that you can do to make that change and make it so that the candidates and the ideas that you support, give yourself a direct action into bringing those things forward. What I want to do now is kind of tie it in a little bit back into what we just heard, but also move into the substance of what Elizabeth Warren talked about. On a side note, what I want to add is there's going to be a part two to this episode. The part two is just going to be the presentation that Elizabeth Warren gave, as well as her question and answer session. I want to give you the opportunity just to hear the whole thing, uncut, complete. Do yourself a favor, listen to it. She gives some great, she's a great storyteller. And when she talks about her upbringing and how it formed the person that she was, it really gives you an insight as to why she should be our next president. But I want to get into the substance of what she talked about, and I'm going to have some clips from her speaking to tie it back into what I was just talking about as far as the volunteering. You know, I was telling you about how they have this new brilliant process, that really, I think is a great way to get your data in a quick way without having that extra waste of time afterward entering it in. The that whole process, one of the other volunteers, I was nearby. They were checking this guy in, and I look over, and it's this guy wearing one of the MAGA hats to make America great again. I'm like, oh no. We've got one of these guys wanting to come in. Now, keep in mind while I'm saying this, that across the street from where we're checking people in, there was a slowly growing, and it really was a small group of folks that were wearing their MAGA hats and, you know, waving the flag. It's like, great, yeah, great, wave the flag. We all are Americans, and you don't own it, okay? They like to think that they own it, that they own patriotism. You don't own that. We as Americans are all part of the process. So just because, you know, Trump tells you that, you know, you are the only patriots, you're not. And whatever, you know, that process. There was a guy with a driving around a truck with a Trump billboard, electronic billboard at the event too. I mean, these folks, like, they're real worried. And you know what? They should be. They don't want to give up their grip on power. And it's too bad. They're going to have to give it up. Because we have been trodden on too much. And as I get more into the substance of what we're talking about, we'll go into that. But let me get back to the guy that was getting checked in with the MAGA hat. What he said, he said he was just wanting to hear what she had to say. You know, that he was a Trump voter, but that, you know, he had an open mind. And said, well, you know what? Hey, it's, you know, everybody can go in. He checked in on our app. They got his data. And, you know, he saw the picture of Bailey, got his little sticker. And on he went in. So later in the event, as Elizabeth Warren was speaking, what a lot of other people noted and what I saw as well is that this guy at certain points, he was, you know, clapping and nodding his head along to what she was saying. And it gives you a little insight in the fact that, you know, for a lot of these folks, as far as the folks that support Trump and supported him, at least initially, and for us, the folks that most certainly do not, but folks who are looking at the issue of income inequality, we're not so different. We may have been looking at some different solutions for these problems, but this comes from having recognizing this problem. These folks, a lot of them are not rich folks. They have the same problems that we do. So I think that it's important if you are a Democratic campaign volunteer for whatever campaign or, you know, whatever candidate you're out there for, don't be quick to dismiss these folks, okay? There are some of them that are willing to listen. And you got to give them that opportunity. Don't push them away. I know that your first instinct might be to say, oh, this person's going to be disruptive. We're worried. I can understand that because sometimes that could be it. But just give them the opportunity. Don't be too negative. Let him in there because this guy was actually willing to listen. I don't know. Do I think he came away from it and, oh, now he's for Warren? And I'm not going to delude myself into thinking that. No. But he at least was willing to hear her out. And that says something, you know? So and to move on into that, into what she was talking about, we see these problems, and Elizabeth Warren is doing a great job at identifying them, talking about solutions. But what I, the first segment that I want to bring up, she talks about the root core cause of everything that we're seeing now. I mean, when it comes down to it, when it comes down to environmental policy, when it comes down to economic policy, when it comes down to any issue you can think of, the root underlying cause of a lot of it is corruption and money. And, you know, I don't think I can say it any better than her. So here we'll listen to a little bit of that.
What's happening to working families in America? Why is it that people who work every bit as hard as my mother worked two generations ago find the path today so much rockier and so much steeper? And for people of color, even rockier and even steeper. Yep. Why is America's middle class being hollowed out? And the answer? It's just like the answer on minimum wage. It's about who government works for. So think of it this way. We have a government that works fabulously for giant drug companies, just not for people trying to get a prescription filled. Works wonderfully for people who want to make some money, investing in private prisons and private detention centers down at the border, just not for the human beings whose lives are torn apart by those places. Yep. We have a government that works terrifically for giant oil companies that want to drill everywhere, just not for the rest of us who see climate change bearing down upon us. And when you see a government that works great for those with money and not so great for everyone else, that is corruption pure and simple, and we need to call it out for what it is. Because when I was a girl, a full-time minimum wage job in America would support a family of three. Yep. It would pay the mortgage, it would cover the utilities, and it would put food on the table. Today, a full-time minimum wage job in America will not keep a mama and a baby out of poverty. That is wrong, and that is why I am in this fight. Understand the difference. The difference is not something that just naturally happens over time. The difference is who government works for. When I was a girl, the question asked in Washington is, what does it take a family of three to make it in America? What does it take a family of three to get a toehold in America's middle class? What does it take a family of three to have something solid to build on? Today, the question asked in Washington is, where do we set the minimum wage to maximize the profits of giant multinational corporations? Well, I don't want a government that works for giant multinational corporations. I want one that works for our families.
So there we heard her identify the problem of corruption and talk a little bit about that. What has really been the focus of this is the issue of income inequality. And I did listen to some other podcasts talking about this as well. And I want you to, if you have a chance, and I actually need to read some of this stuff as well, I'm going to recommend two books that I did hear about. And if you have the chance, I recommend you read them. I need to read a little more into them myself. If you look a little more into where Elizabeth Warren comes up with her plans, she's actually got some great folks that she gets ideas from, whether it was coming up with the funding for her version of the Medicare for All bill, or her wealth tax, which we will definitely get into in a little bit here. What you really want to look at are some books on economics. She's got a number of economics folks that she speaks with, but the one that was identified in this one that I listened to was Capital in the 21st Century. It's by Thomas Piketty. It's supposed to be the beginning, I think, of what we see now, this sort of revolution in economics, which is really looking at the issues of income inequality and why we have ended up where we are. Another book, which really even goes a little deeper and looks at some of the ways that race and location play into that inequality, is Unbound by Heather Bushey. And she goes a bit more into the differing experiences that people in different locations and of different race, and how those of what would be minorities, they are experiencing, those who are, you know, the people who are black and brown in our society are really experiencing the worst of it. And also women are experiencing the worst of it because they've already had that point that they're starting from a lower point, and that they really, the system is rigged against folks like that, folks who don't have that beginning head start. A quick into a little bit more and back into Elizabeth Warren's speech, she spoke also about something very critical, is us uniting as workers. And how having unions, whether or not you're at a workplace that even has a union, the strength of unions, regardless, protect all workers.
It can't just be the government, the big corporations. You want to make structural change? We've got to have more power in the hands of workers. That means make it easier to join a union and give unions more power when they negotiate. Unions built America's middle class. Unions will rebuild America's middle class.
Now, that then is going to lead us into the crux, and I think one of the most important parts of what she's talking about in this. And again, there's more that she goes into, and I do recommend you listen to part two of this episode, which is her entire presentation uncut. But the part that really got me excited in this, other than just her Medicare for All plan, because I will tell you, her Medicare for All plan and the way that she's doing it is the right way to do it, is very exciting and is very important. But she talked about her wealth tax and what that can provide. And you've got to hear that. Even if you don't listen afterward to the full thing, which I do recommend that you do, check out this part about her wealth tax, or as she presented it, and what you need to see it as is just 2 cents, just 2 cents.
It is time for a wealth tax in America. Now, here's the basic idea. Your first $50 million is free and clear. I see Guy over here. He said, I can deal with this lady. Okay. That's not okay. She's not unreasonable here. First $50 million is free and clear, but your 50 millionth and first dollar, you got to pitch in 2 cents. And 2 cents on every dollar after that. That's the basic idea behind it. Just, yeah. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Just so everybody's clear about how this works. Anybody in here own a home or grew up in a family that owned a home? Yeah. You've been paying a wealth tax. It's just called a property tax, right? So all I'm saying is for the guys right at the top 0.1%, your property tax is not just the real estate, it's also the stock portfolio, the diamonds, the Rembrandt, and the yacht. That's all. And so that's the basic idea. It's really pretty simple. And boy, there are some billionaires who don't like this. Ooh, I think I hurt someone's feelings. You know, this is sad. This is sad. So there are people who are saying, oh, that I'm just mean to the billionaires. Mean. Oh, I know. But here's the thing. I'm not being mean to the billionaires. Here's how I see this. I see it this way. You built a great fortune in America. You know, you had a great idea. You worked hard. You brought it. Or you inherited well. Okay, whichever it is. But either way, you have a great fortune that was built in America. Good for you. Good for you. That's the American way. Good for you. But keep in mind, you built that great fortune here in America. You built it at least in part using workers all of us help pay to educate. Yep. You built it at least in part getting your goods to market on roads and bridges, all of us help pay the bill. You built it at least in part, protected by police and firefighters, all of us help pay the salaries for it. And here's the thing, we're glad to do it. We're Americans. We want to make these investments in opportunity. All we're saying is when you make it big, really big, top 0.1% big, pitch in 2 cents so everybody else gets a chance to make it. Because here's the thing, 2 cents. What can we do with 2 cents? How much of a difference can we make with just 2 cents off the top 0.1%? I'm going to tell you. First thing we can do is universal child care for every baby in this country age 0 to 5. Universal pre-K for every 3-year-old and 4-year-old in America. And we can stop exploiting the people, largely black and brown women who do this work. We can raise the wages of every child care worker and preschool teacher in America. And we can change the lives of every baby in this country, and I'm not through yet. Wow, you bet. I'm into this. We can do all of that for our babies, plus we can put $800 billion of new federal money into K-12 public schools. Quadruple the funding for Title I schools that teach low-income children. And as a special ed teacher, you'll hear me on this, for the first time in history, we can fully fund IDEA and make sure that every child with a disability has the education they need. We can can put real money into all of our public schools, and we can say as a nation, you build a future when you build strong public schools. And I'm not through yet. That same 2 cents that gives us all that for our babies, that puts so much into K-12, we still will have enough money so that every kid who wants an education can go tuition free to technical school, community college, or four-year college. We can really start to level the playing field. We can put $50 billion directly into our historically black colleges and universities. Okay, and just one more. We can cancel student loan debt for 43 billion. An entire generation here in America. Oh, we got it. Oh.
All right. Where that is leading us is key. That idea of leveling the playing field. Overall, her plans are all about leveling the playing field on every subject. But her wealth tax, that just 2 cents, just 2 cents, and not even just on over your 50 million, just the idea of how much prosperity and bottom-up economic growth that you could develop by instituting that process is amazing. And the idea that we would say, oh no, we can't do that. We can't do it because you'd make billionaires cry. I love her going into about how it's making the billionaires cry. Oh, we feel so sorry for them. And maybe they can console themselves with their second yacht. You know, I mean, it's just silly. It's just silly that we're going to listen to these billionaires and millionaires cry about this. You know, it gets me a little bit into where we're at right now with Mike Bloomberg wanting to throw himself in as a savior, you know, like a Mike Bloomberg, billionaire to the rescue. So, I mean, that's the thing. Who do these people think they are? And honestly, I see the same thing with a little bit with Tom Steyer. You know, I mean, I understand they've got some real message, especially I would say with Tom Steyer and Andrew Yang. I don't want to go too in on them because they do have some good ideas. And I will say that they have a lot of the same problems and issues. They do identify in them and they're moving in. And yes, people with wealth can be very beneficial. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you know, was a great president. And, you know, he came from wealth, but I just don't see that as being where we want to find our solutions now. Just to me, it's not the way to go. I think we need someone who's come up the way that Elizabeth Warren has come up to really guide us into this future of fixing these big fundamental problems with what she offers, which is big structural change. We need big structural change. It's needed
It's needed now. So, I don't want to belabor the point too much, but it's really time. And that's what the Warren campaign is really about. It's time now. We don't have time to nibble around the edges. We don't have time to just bring a milquetoast sort of half-baked plan. We need folks with real plans. We need Elizabeth Warren. And so I will be doing everything that I can to ensure that she is our Democratic nominee and to ensure that she is our president. So, wrapping up now, just want to say, remember, we're coming up, we've only got another month in this, through the rest of November, moving into December, and January, and of course, February, at the end of February, we vote here in South Carolina. So if you're listening here in South Carolina, remember, February 29th, that's when we vote. And if you're listening to my recommendation, you're going to vote for Elizabeth Warren. A little more on what we're doing here now, as far as, I know in my first episode, I talked a lot about our local political stuff. I wanted to just bring a little update on that. There is a runoff in the city of Charleston. I did recommend that we vote for John Tecklenburg. I still recommend we vote for John Tecklenburg. He is going to be the one that's going to be good for our city. If you will go back and listen, I did tell you that I thought that if we went into a runoff, it would be with Mike Seekings. And it is with Mike Seekings. So if you're in Charleston, the city of Charleston, get out there, vote for John Tecklenburg. And you're going to vote November 19th. If you think that you're not going to be able to make it out to vote, you have to work, something's going on, you're going to be out of town, make sure in South Carolina, you can vote early. It's called in-person absentee. What you want to do is go down to the Board of Elections office, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday, up to 5 p.m. on the Monday prior to the election. So you want to get down there, or if you call 843-744-8683, again, that's 843-744-8683, you can request a written absentee ballot. It's really pushing it, though, to get that for this process. So what I would recommend that you do is go down to the Board of Elections. If you look up Charleston Board of Elections, you get the address, all that. It's 4367 Headquarters Road, North Charleston, 29405. And what you can do, go down there. You can vote in-person absentee if you're not going to be able to make it on Tuesday. Your vote is critical. The voter turnout is going to be less. Get out there and vote. I'm telling you right now, we need John Tecklenburg in Charleston. So get out there, vote for John Tecklenburg. Jason Sacrin and John Lewis are in a runoff in District 3. So if you're in City Council District 3, I recommend you vote for Jason Sacrin. Honestly, I will tell you that Councilman Lewis, he's been doing it a long time. I've had some differences with him on, especially the plastic bag ban. I will just tell you that you really should vote for Jason Sacrin. He should be the new councilman. Highly endorse him. So if you are in District 3, do recommend that you vote for him. And just get out there and vote. Make sure you vote in this runoff. If you went out and voted on election day, that's fine. If you didn't, you can still vote. Your vote can still count. You have an opportunity. If you didn't make it out on election day or didn't make your vote count on election day in the city of Charleston, you got another opportunity. Take advantage of it. Get out there and vote. Again, as I said before, immediately following this, this part two of this episode is going to be the full remarks from Elizabeth Warren. Highly, highly, highly recommend you check it out. If you weren't there, or even if you were, maybe you can, catch something you missed. I know I did listening to it again, so highly recommend it. Part two of this episode, full remarks, Elizabeth Warren, and subscribe to my podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe to my podcast. We'll have some new subjects when it comes up. And I will announce when that next one is coming out. You'll see it come up. I'll announce on social media when it's coming out. So just keep an eye out for it and keep listening. I really appreciate you listening to me, and have a good one.